This is a recording of the Manuel Perez Conference with Urshrat on April 27, 2017 at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time. Good morning and welcome to Crédito Real's first quarter 2017 earnings conference call. Crédito Real issued its quarterly report on Wednesday, April 26, 2017. If you did not receive a copy via email, please do not hesitate to contact us in Mexico City at +52 55 52 28 97 53. It is important to note that the presentation and the MP3 recording referred to this call will be available at www.creal.mx. Before we begin the call today, I would like to remind you that the information discussed in today's call may include forward-looking statements on Crédito Real's future financial performance and prospects, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and the company cautions not to rely unduly on these forward-looking statements. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements. With us this morning from Crédito Real, we have Mr. Ángel Romanos, CEO, and Mr. Carlos Ochoa, Deputy CEO. They will discuss on the more important strategic, financial, and operating aspects of the first quarter 2017. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Romanos.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for your valuable participation in our earnings call. This first quarter was off to a good start, trending above the estimates of our guide for 2017, showing a solid resiliency of our underlying fundamentals, as these are tested by the local and global 400 million pesos of net income, well above the 345 million recorded on the last quarter, following the enhancement of our net income margin, without giving up the health of our best-in-class non-performing loans ratio, which ended the first quarter at about a 2% mark, proof of the ongoing improvement of our operation as we moved forward to integrate Instacredit into our legacy business platform, while continued strengthening the instrumental payroll credit origination. It is noteworthy that we were able to offset both higher funding costs related with the upward adjustment of the reference rate and incremental risk costs from the increased interest rate coverage of our debt, which to this date surpasses 40% share of our total consolidated debt. The greater portion of our outstanding debt at a fixed rate, coupled with a number of other important initiatives executed to solidify our risk profile, as was the expanded maturity of our debt, which was achieved towards the issuance of our senior notes due 2023 and our 100% coverage on foreign exchange fluctuations, were reflected in the upgrade outlook of our credit rating of Standard & Poor's this quarter, going from negative to stable. Here, it is important to highlight the positive feedback received on our strategic initiatives to improve our financial position, being encouraged to move forward to the right path. Additionally, we get confidence from our liquid assets, as we have more than a billion pesos in balance in the line of cash and equivalents, which is a very important asset to cope with turbulence, as in this time, cash is king. Moving on to Instacredit, we are very pleased with the strong growth rates recorded. And with this hard data on our hands, we know now that we took the right decision with the incorporation to our legacy business of Instacredit. Also, thanks to Don Carro, AFS, and Instacredit, we have access to four different vibrant markets besides Mexico, affording us the opportunity to record incremental revenues in stable currencies, and their contribution is clearly reflected in the origination record highs of this quarter. Moreover, we anticipate that these businesses get further momentum to achieve above one-third weight into our consolidated credit portfolio. Regarding our operation in Mexico, on the one hand, we tapped into payroll credit origination, including solid assets in our portfolio that belong to institutions which guarantee the service and payment of the originated loans through contributions of federal funds. And on the other, we continued adjusting the new credit originations to the prevailing environment of higher interest rates, anticipating this initiative to be greater reflected in our P&L towards 2018, thus helping us to face the pressure over the net interest margins with a better position. To conclude my remarks, I would say that we are encouraged to move forward into 2017, being confident of our fundamentals, diversified portfolio, and solid risk management policies, but clearly aware of the challenging environment and 100% ready to walk the talk in the consolidation of our operations and to deliver attractive returns to our shareholders and stakeholders. With this, I want to thank you again and leave you with Carlos Ochoa.
Thank you, Angel. Good morning, and thank you all for taking part in Crédito Real's quarterly conference call. Regarding interest income, during this quarter, we reached interest income of $2.1 billion, increasing 51% compared to the first quarter of 16. This increase was mainly due to the growth in the loan portfolio, supported by favorable credit origination and InstaCredit, which contributed 60% and 25% respectively of the consolidated interest income. Regarding expenses, the average cost of funds raised to 10.1% as an increase of 350 bps when compared to the 6.6% in the first quarter of 16. This increase is explained by an increasing Mexican reference rate, a larger loan portfolio, and full InstaCredit consolidation. The financial margin increased 39% to over $1.4 billion, driven by the interest income growth. Our businesses outside Mexico contributed to 43% to the consolidated financial margin. Allowances for loan losses reached $315 million during this quarter, given that at the time of InstaCredit consolidation, we had an excess provision according to DMGB's methodology. During the first quarter 16, the allowance for loan losses were unusually low. Over the next following quarters, the provision trended towards a more stable level of around 5% of the total loan portfolio. In our report, we exhibited a chart that shows the pro forma for first Q16 under a 4% provision assumption policy. Under this scenario, the provision for loan losses would have been $207 million, and the net income would have reached $294 million in the first quarter of 16. Administrative expenses reached $832 million during the first quarter of 17, showing a 48% increase when compared to the first quarter of 16. This growth was driven by an increase in InstaCredit's administrative expenses of $177 million due to the full consolidation during the quarter versus 1 month consolidation last year. A rise in Crédito Real expenses of $74 million, mainly associated with Condinero, an $18 million increase recorded in our subsidiary. In the first quarter of 17, net income reached $396 million, a decrease of 2.4% year-over-year, thus under a standard level of provision, assuming 4% of total loan portfolio in the first quarter of 16, the net income would have reached $294 million, showing an increase of 35% compared to the last year's. When it comes to the key financial ratios, this quarter, the consolidated yield stood at 33.5% compared to the 27.9% in first Q16. In this line, the net interest margin improved from 21.2% in the first quarter of 16 to 23.5% year over year. The quarter's efficiency ratio increased to 50%, mainly driven by the full consolidation of InstaCredit expenses. Since last quarter, efficiency ratio calculation excludes Resuelve, since this business does not involve credit risk. ROE stood at 7.6% during the quarter, was raw ROA reached 4.5%. Regarding our loan portfolio, it increased by 17% to $24.2 billion at the end of the first quarter 17. InstaCredit and used car portfolios recorded the highest growth rate, 52%, and 35%, respectively. Our payroll portfolio increased by 14% to reach $15.1 billion, supported by the pensioner segment growth, which represented 30% of the total payroll origination this quarter. Our durable good loan portfolio decreased by 67% year-over-year due to the divesting strategy in the business line. Our SME portfolio increased 10% year-over-year, totaling $1.6 billion of our first quarter of 17 portfolio. We have extended both the average loan term and amount, striving to focus on larger accounts. Regarding group loans, our operators Contigo and Somos Uno reported a 35% loan portfolio growth. Group loan origination reached $1.1 billion in first quarter of 17, an increase of almost 32% when compared to the $877 million during the first quarter of 16. The company's group loan partners continue to expand their number of customers while maintaining a strong portfolio performance metrics. Our total used car portfolio increased by 35% year-over-year, reaching $2.6 billion at the end of the first quarter of 17. The portfolio increase was driven by the expansion in our U.S. used car business. As of first quarter of 17, used cars in Mexico represented only 2% of the total loan portfolio, with U.S. used cars represented 9% of the total loan portfolio. Instacredit's loan portfolio reached $4.2 billion, which represented 17% of total loan portfolio and originated $935 million, or 20% of total origination during the quarter. This quarter, the non-performing loan portfolio was 2.1% compared to 2.7% last year. The NPL improved mainly in payroll, used cards, and Instacredit businesses, still in line with the 2-3% long-term guidance as we move forward with greater loan portfolio diversification. With this, I conclude my remarks, and now let me turn back the call to the operator to open the line for Q&A.
Thank you, sir. At this time, the floor is open for questions. If you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing star 1 now. We'll take questions in the order they are received. If at any time you need to remove yourself from the questioning queue or your question has been answered, press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Our first question comes from Ernesto Gabilondo with Bank of America.
Hi, good morning, Angel and Carlos, and thanks for taking my call. Three questions from my side. The first one is in terms of your cost of risk. I believe it was kind of high this quarter. So any guidance you can give us on this will be much appreciated. For my second question is on your cost of funding. So now 40% of your total debt is fixed. So what is your target and how much additional costs are you expecting for hedging the rest of your debt? Where should we see the cost of funding? And finally, during the quarter, we saw a reduction in equity. So can you share with us the impacts behind? Thank you.
Hi, Ernesto. Thank you for your question. Well, first, regarding the cost of risk, yes, I mean, if you look at only at the 5.2% that we disclosed yesterday, yeah, it would appear to be a little bit higher than the usual when compared to the fourth quarter, which was more like in 4.9 or 5%. But, you know, something which is very important to mention is the amount of money that we collected from charge-off accounts during this quarter was higher than in the previous quarters. So basically what we do, I mean, just out of consistency, we've been reporting the cost of risk, you know, without netting it from all the collections that we receive from the, you know, from the charge of accounts and mostly from the business in the States and Instacredit. But if you net that cost of risk out of that other income, the cost of risk would have been more like in the 4%, 4.1% range, which we believe that it's a healthy standard for this business. I'm not sure if that answers this question.
Yes, thank you.
Now, when it comes to the cost of funds, what we saw during this quarter was the opportunities to fix. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, it wasn't so volatile. So what we decided to do was to fix another proportion up to the 40%. We fixed the debt related to the Mexican market, $1.5 billion. And it was a very good way to we fixed the TA. We fixed the TA for the 2018 debt at a level of, I think it was 7.715 and 719. Whereas when it comes to the additional $1.5 billion associated to the senior notes due in 2023, it was fixed the TA at 726. It was at 7.26%. I mean, we feel comfortable right now with this figure. I mean, we would like to take that figure up to, I don't know, probably 50% of the total consolidated debt. But it will depend on market conditions. You know, as of last week, you know, prior to the last couple of days, we started listening to, you know, that there might be the chance of a possibility of decreasing the interest rate. I don't see that. I don't see that coming in the next year. But right now, I think that if we take that number up to 50% of the total consolidated debt, that would be fine for us.
Okay. And for example, your captive funding, I think, is around 10.1. So if you hedge it to the 50% of your total debt, what can you expect for the cost of funding?
I don't know. It's probably going to, I would say I think that in Mexico, you could see that figure, I mean, we could expect an interest rate hike of another 50 basis for this year. So probably the total consolidated cost of funds by the end of the year is going to be below 11%, or probably in that range. Probably, it's hard to say, but probably between the 10.5% and 11, probably.
Okay, perfect. Fair enough. And finally, on your the equity, with a reduction in the equity, can you share with us the impacts?
Yes. I mean, basically it was associated, I mean, it's important to mention that we have a large sum of money invested in our foreign subsidiaries, specifically Intercredit, that's the most visible one, and also the businesses in the state. So mostly, you know, during the first quarter, there was an unusual phenomenon in which the FX in the Mexican peso appreciated against the dollars of around 10%. That had an effect over the equity, both in the investors, in the investment made in the foreign subsidiaries, as well as on the valuation of the derivatives. That affected the equity during the first quarter, as well as another impact of the, you know, of our buyback program, in which we bought close to 5 million stock during the quarter. And that amounted for something around 100 million or above 100 million. So the combination of these effects was explains the decrease in the equity on the equity side.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much, Carlos.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Dermot Velasco with BBVA.
Hello, hi, good morning. Thank you, Angela and Carlos. Just a couple of questions from my side. The first one is regarding the loan growth. We saw that this quarter it was very, very strong, increasing 17% year over year. And comparing with your previous guidance between 5 and 10%, do you think it is possible that we will see higher growth rates for this year, more than the 10%? That would be my first question. And the second one is regarding the ROE. Do you expect this ratio to increase in coming quarters since the credit is fully consolidated to the numbers of Crédito Real? That would be my two questions. Thank you.
Hello, Germán. How are you? This is Ángel Romanos. First, about the loan growth, we had a first quarter that was much more stable than we thought it was going to be. The end of last year was very turbulent and there was a lot of uncertainties around it. We had a first quarter that was much less volatile than we thought it was going to be. We really don't want to talk a lot about the future because it looks like a complicated year. There's elections coming in Mexico during the summer, and then you have a big election for next year. So we do expect some volatility to develop as the year comes along. So we do believe we can grow around the 10% stable growth during the year, but saying that we will grow more, it's a little bit adventurous. And about the ROE, we do expect it to trend towards the 20% as the year goes by, and as the interest rate pass-through to our end consumer starts coming into the P&L of the company.
Okay, very helpful. Thank you,
Angel. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Tito Labarta with the Deutsche Bank.
Hi, hi. Good morning, Angel and Carlos. Thanks for the call. A couple of questions also. Following up on your margin, I guess more on the yield on your loans, we saw a nice increase there. So I guess are you increasing the rates on loans? Because looking at the loan mix, we saw InstaCredit was down a bit, so I'm not sure how much the mix helped this quarter. So I just wanted to understand a bit the repricing, and do you think the margin can continue to go up? That, in other words, have you fully absorbed the increase in your funding costs? So if you could give a little bit more color on that. Thank you.
Hello, Tito. How are you? Yes, effectively, we started repricing all of our products on the last quarter of last year, and we finished repricing them in the first 30, 40 days of this year. We repriced our products even more than what interest rates have gone up in the country, but you won't see the whole effect of that until the middle or third quarter of next year as everything has gone through the portfolio. And as for InstaCredit, yes, you have an effect that this year we had InstaCredit for the full quarter, and it's our product with a higher yield on it. And last year you only had it for a month and 10 days in the first quarter. So you also have that effect. So we expect NIMs to remain at least the same as they were this quarter and to improve a little bit as the year goes through and we get to the middle of next year.
Great, thanks. That's helpful. And then also following up on the question about ROE, you mentioned you expect to get to 20% by the end of the year. Although if that's the case, it looks like you would certainly beat the guidance of net income growth of 0 to 5%. So I assume that's maybe just on a quarterly basis. And do you think that 20% is sustainable, you know, whether you reach it by year end or next year? Is that kind of where we should be in a more normalized environment?
It should trend to 20%, and that's where we want it on a normalized environment going forward.
Okay, but for the full year, you probably won't be able to get there, correct?
No, the average will be below that because we're starting at a 17.something%.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Alessandro Orlant with the Bank of America.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for the call. I arrived at the call a little bit late. I was just wondering if you could give us an update on the 2019 bond, if you intend to call the bond next month.
I mean, we haven't decided yet what we're going to do with that one because now the positive thing about the remaining 2019 is that the interest rate that we are paying for that one is below 7% fixed in pesos. So from the beginning of the year, we we have been very emphatic about the fact that profitability and especially cost of funds is going to be a major issue for the company this year. So in that sense, the 2019s are one of the cheapest sources of funds at this time. So most likely we're not going to call that bond, but we haven't decided yet.
Okay, that's fair enough. Thank you so much, Carlos. And then my other question would be just more in general terms. We've seen that, you know, the growth of the portfolio has slowed down. If you look at quarter over quarter, and at origination, even at the payroll lending level in Mexico has also slowed down. I mean, could you give us an idea of what's going on the ground, particularly in Mexico, in terms of the expectations of the slowdown of the economy, if we're already seeing the bulk of the slowdown, or if you do see that there's more downside risk, especially with, you know, what could happen with policies in the U.S. and what could happen with some of the elections you will have during the summer. So just a short-term, six-month outlook would be great, especially looking at your, you know, asset quality, which still continues to be quite good and still have been quite responsive, right, to the efforts that you've made. But I think that in the short term, you still have a lot of volatility.
Alessandro, hello, this is Angel. We've been growing a lot in Mexico. If you look at the data we send on the sheet, our payroll business has grown 14.4% as a portfolio, and origination-wise, we're close to 20% quarter versus quarter. 2017 to 2016. So we do believe that our growth in Mexico is very attractive, and we can remain growing at that pace on the payroll business for the rest of the year.
Okay, so you're not, I mean, as it is right now, it will be steady. I mean, you don't expect any significant slowdown from here.
No, we haven't seen any slowdown on our payroll business whatsoever. And we don't expect it to happen.
Okay, that's good. Thank you so much, Angel.
As a final reminder, press star one at any time for questions. Our next question comes from Rodolfo Ramos with Franklin Templeton.
Hi, Carlos and Angel. Just a quick question on your payroll business and a follow-up on the repricing. Can you explain to us how does that process is going with specifically as it relates to your payroll? And have you done any of them so far? Thank you.
Yes, we have been repricing most of the contracts we have with the our distributors have with the government entities are renegotiated every year or every 3 years. So all the contracts that were negotiated by the end of the year, we made a pass-through of our funding costs to the end consumer. We've had no trouble with that. And the ones that weren't due for negotiation this year, we also approached the government agencies through our distributors and negotiated the pass-through of our funding costs. And so far, we haven't had any trouble with any of the contracts we have.
Perfect. Thank you. Just a quick follow-up. Can you say how much of your loan book on the payroll side has gone through this process?
I would say that between 80 and 83% of our originations are already being made with the new interest rates.
Perfect. That's very helpful. Thank you, Angel.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Natalia Thorfield with J.P. Morgan.
Hey, hi, Carlos and all. My question is with regards to FX. I was actually impressed by the effect that they have, that FX has in your balance sheet. So, first of all, just to clarify, the equity side, the decline in equity was related to the investments that you have outside Mexico, for instance, Instacredit. So if you could confirm that, it would be great. And the second thing also is with regards to your derivative transaction, derivative securities, because it had a big decline in the quarter. So if you could explain how exactly this worked, it would be very useful for me. Thank you.
Hi, Natalia. Yes, you know, in broader terms, what I can tell you is that Crédito Real has investment in foreign subsidiaries of about 3.5 billion or something in that range. So clearly, a decrease in the FX of 10% as we saw during this quarter had a negative effect over the equity in that sense. Additionally, if you look at all the, you know, if you look at all the debt, U.S. dollar denominated debt, is hedged, you know, is hedged in at some level, it's hedged to with a full cross-currency swap. The value of these derivatives also had a negative effect, which affected clearly the equity. And finally, the last one was with the buyback program. As I mentioned, we bought about 110 million worth of equity during the quarter. So the combination of all these effects affected the equity. However, for the next quarter, as we are seeing with the FX, probably we are going to see the contrary effect to that one. We could provide you some further details by email to you directly.
Sounds good. And but the decline that we see in your position of derivatives in the balance sheet, is that only related to FX, or is that also related to FX and rates?
No, it's only related to FX.
All right. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
With no further questions in the queue, we will now conclude the question and answer session. Thank you all for being in today's conference call. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you all.